Okay, so currently I'm trying to get into IRC. It's not a requirement, but that's learning in the background. So anyhow, we just came back from our live panel at Radio Statler. As you can tell, we were really well prepared for it, which means we weren't. And now we are back here for literally the talk. Oh, we're in IRC, yay. That I once again, every year I try to do four talks that I get really excited for. And once again, this year, this is the one I'm the most excited for. So once again, I unfortunately had to choose the title for this before I asked other people. So just let you guys know, it's called Hacking the Naughty Bits. That's the, I think it's that the works. Most appropriate.
Yeah.
I personally think so. If anyone wants to disagree, please tell me. We're here with, to be honest, an all-star cast here of some of my absolute favorite people who I like worshiping their opinions and their research on. So
dude, now you're just getting creepy. I feel like I should be stepping away.
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to avoid that all day, but I do really mean that you guys, gals, and people do incredible work here. And enough about me blabbing. I was wondering if we could go around the room and introduce ourselves.
All right. Hi. I am Dr. Kit Stubbs. My pronouns are they, them, there. I'm very excited to be back. This is my third time at HOPE. I am the founder and executive director of the Effing Foundation for Sex Positivity, EFFING.org.
That never gets old.
I know, right? I try not to overuse the joke, but it's just so good. So we are working to reduce sexual shame, normalize conversations around sex by fostering sex-positive art and education.
All right. And I am Renderman. I am the founder and chief researcher, otherwise known as the Dawn of Dongs, of the Internet of Dongs project, internetofdawn.gs. So I know something about, you know, fun domain names.
Yeah.
I've been trying to increase the level of security with the new generation of internet-connected sex toys. So literally, I am hacking sex toys, you know, for not... you know, fun and profit, but to try to make them safer, because this is the new way. This is the new way things are going to be, and I don't care who, where, when, how, maybe the what, but you know, everybody deserves privacy and safety and security with these devices. So I have no dignity, so I decided to take this on. Can't quite hear you there.
Trying.
Yep.
For that one.
All right.
There we go. Sorry about that.
Hey there, all you cats and kittens, hacks and hackers alike. My name is Maggie Mayhem. I am a sex worker, birth worker, death worker. I come from San Francisco, California. Today I'm representing sex worker rights interests, but some people also know me for the foundation that I started, Harm Redux SF. We hand out health and hygiene supplies to the homeless and marginally housed people of San Francisco, namely crack pipes and safer smoking supplies.
Yes.
Awesome work.
And just to let you know, we are currently using a Jitsi Meet in order to contact the people from Assembly 4. They have apparently going to come in at try to attempt to dial in at 10:15. So we're just going to cross our finger and hope the best. Regardless, I can't believe we just had so much awesome, amazing talent in the room. I almost don't know where to begin. I guess we'll begin after Renderman has appropriately rendered the terrible liquor.
The Jepsen Malort. Yes. I have just covered in the pharmaceutical for rectal use only stickers.
Oh.
Because if anyone is familiar with Malort, you understand. If you don't, just Google Malort face.
Yes.
M-A-L-O-R-T.
I don't think we have much else here in the radio that's for rectal use only, although some things have been untested, so, we are hackers, and we might see where this goes without regardless of looking up poison control in Wikipedia.
Well, but, not to mention only is such a limiting word.
Yes.
And some of these things are for rectal use and other uses.
We might still. So I would kind of like to go around with, just throw the baby out with the bathwater here and talk about something that I've been obsessed with just because of the absolute absurdity of this situation, which is, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly because I am a noob, which is the Sessa Fossa stuff that has been recently passed. And if I may, before we I take opinions from all the wonderful people here, I would just like to quickly state my own about this, just real quick, just from my background, if I could. This is a a legislative thing, this monster for me that is just, it's preying on preying on preying on preying. If this was a person, they would be registered as a sex offender in multiple states and countries, in my opinion. This to me is used a group of elites who are so afraid of what technology can bring and what it would do to upset their own meager and myopic power base, that they are, in my opinion, manipulating the forced puritanization, particularly in America, that I feel has been going on, to get a unanimous pass on something that is designed to just destroy technology in people's lives. For me to quote Rogue One, as geeky as this is, from Gail Orson, it's called the Death Star, and I can't think of a more appropriate name out there. This bill, from my limited knowledge, or whatever sort of legislative it is, because I'm like turning to Alex Jones here, hopefully I won't start yammering about frogs and pharmaceutical products, is designed, and what to me makes it so insidious is that it's not even just a hammering down on the little people. They're attempting to use entities and organizations as a way to self-police. They're punishing them in hopes of punishing others. And at first they're going to, you know, attack the sex workers. I friend my neighbors are burlesque performers, people in the adult entertainment industry, and considering how flaky all of our automated word systems are, just people in general talking about sex, and they're using that. And also are like a lot of tech sort of ignorance on, oh, that's just horny stuff. What does this have to do with me? Of not realizing how much this has been written so broad that it is going to attack them. Things such as, oh, pedophile networks have allegedly been using stuff that has been approved by the GNU Foundation. We want to officially say the GNU Foundation supports pedophilia. Fix that. This could potentially, in my opinion, become this future, and this is a future that, to also quote a Star Wars film, do not want. And I just want to know from this amazing town what your opinions are about this topic.
I was going to say, can we step back for a second? Maggie, could you help remind all of us sort of what Sesta Fosta is, just for folks who, like, we're so excited to get people in the conversation. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, that's why I brought all you amazing people here.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of Sesta Fosta, that is the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act. It is also the Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act. It was two different bills that kind of merged into one, like an unholy tornado just ripping up the heart of sex worker rights activism and really free speech on the internet. Mm-hmm. What it does essentially is it removes Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and it is going to hold anyone who hosts third-party content liable for what occurs. It says that anyone who is knowingly facilitating human trafficking can be held liable, but there is no concrete definition of what human trafficking is, and these vague, arbitrary, and capricious definitions put people at great risk. And when Sesta Fosta was passed, we lost about 150 websites overnight. It did not only include places that had advertising, it included, for instance, Craigslist personals, which was a really important place. It impacted a lot of websites. FetLife.com, which is a BDSM networking site, is talking with lawyers and they're reviewing what their liabilities are and what they can do as a website. So it's impacting a lot of people, and it's going to mean we're going to have a more limited internet because it's hard for anyone to really monitor all the content that's happening on their message boards or anything like that. But moreover, again, what is human trafficking really if we're not going to distinguish between people who are indeed victims of horrendous crimes and people who are making a living by their own choice and consent?
And to me, this particularly this vague definition is once again another a piece of legislation that's going to cause more problems than it solves. It's just a complete immediate human level for myself. As I said, my neighbors, who I wish could be here today, but they're right now literally working their asses off, and I commend them for that. I wish I could work as hard as they did.
And there's also worse stuff is already coming. The banking for human traffickers was proposed. It was bipartisan. That was Warren and Rubio. So Democrats and Republicans are really trying to increase these surveillance juggernauts, and they are doing it with the smokescreen of human trafficking.
That was so eloquent, but I lost my train of thought. I apologize.
I would just like to point out, for reference, I'm Canadian, so this is outside looking in. over the years, how many congressmen and senators and such have been caught in little black books for nervous madams and stuff like that? And I always have to laugh every time I hear stuff like this about the the sheer irony that it's like, just protest too much kind of thing.
To me,
The people that, if you're protesting, and fighting for this stuff so much, it's like, it's probably because you want to get it shut down so the database gets deleted and your indiscretions are gone with it.
Yeah, to me, this is just a continuing case that I saw in the 90s and continues now of legislators trying to push through what they want by just simply using that one sentence, please think of the children. And we're not saying please don't think of the children per se. We want to protect our children. It's just there's better ways and more immediate ways that we can do this without just harming the entire system with their lives. And in my opinion, to me, a lot of this stuff is not going to benefit them. We'll actually make that worse.
It will, because everything that you have to do in order to successfully traffic someone is already illegal. There is no loophole that people are getting away with that we need these extra...
it's a solution looking for a problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or, it's a surveillance agenda looking for a justification.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this is government censorship. It has already happened, right? Yeah. FOSTA went into effect, website shut down. People had... communicating with each other and sharing information.
Well, yeah.
Not even websites shut down, but the fact that you've got websites, like you said, VetLife, there are consulting lawyers that are very concerned and not knowing, does this affect me? Does this not? Because everything's so nebulous, they're going to self-censor, which is effectively censorship.
Yeah, and a lot of sex workers have been organizing under the hashtag, let us survive. And that's because we lost some of our most important tools for communicating with one another and sharing really vital safety resources. Being a sex worker is the most dangerous job in America. And we do not have a government that is helping us or supporting us in any way. We rely on one another. We need mutual aid. Yes. And we've had that ripped out from underneath us.
Speaking of mutual aid, I just want to say from my personal experiences that I have been insane, which is why I'm trying to get some voice before on the air. I am incredibly impressed with the quick, accurate, and tenacious organizing and adoption of technologies that I've always wanted to see being leveraged to combat this sort of, I hate to, evil that's being done. What's very much frustrated me and a little personal experience, so very recently, it was 2 months ago, the Museum of Sex in New York City, which is an awesome museum. I actually got one of my first sex toys there from my partner. It was on discount. It was awesome. Now we have the big boy-girl version of it. But I digress. They did an amazing fundraiser event for that, just to throw a party and some acts and to explain what all this stuff is and get that out there. And first of all, I was just impressed because they really actually did think that this wasn't going to do a great turnout. So I was so happy that it was just overflowing with people. They had to turn people away, unfortunately. It was fantastic. But what really shocked me when going there is I would talk to various people involved, legal experts, sex workers, and to be informed that even though I have my own hamper of this label of myself, that they're like, you're the first person I've seen in computing and in hacking that I've talked to talk about this, and that has horrified me. Not for the fact that I am, but that we should be jumping on this, because don't think this won't affect us or everyone. We're all humans in this together. And so that's just appalling, and I just wanted to dig to that point why, and I sort of have my own theories why, and my goal is just I want to get this dialogue going. The only way we're going to get through this is by working together on this.
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought that was going to be correct.
I was going to say one thing that I would definitely be concerned is we all know the internet is for porn.
I was going to quote after you, Q, as well.
Yes. The internet is for porn, and there's already talk of conflating pornography with human trafficking. And so
think about it.
It's like banning all pencils because murder.
Yes.
Yeah.
A typical thing you'll hear in the hacker community is you can use a hammer to build a house or cave somebody's skull in. It's like, does that mean you ban hammers? No. It's the world's oldest profession. There's a reason it has that name.
Real quick, my favorite variant on that, which is from Rob T. Firefly, is that when burglars use hammers and crowbars to break into someone's house, they don't interview carpenters to ask about their opinion of how this person, you know, broke in and why is their field being so harmful to humanity.
Or perhaps the other question we need to ask when we introduce something like this is, there are people who are vulnerable. They are being exploited.
Yes.
But why are they vulnerable in the first place? And is this type of legislation going to mitigate that vulnerability?
I believe the unanimous answer to that is hell no.
Right? People, as I like to say, choice is not an even playing field, and this does not increase choices. It takes another one off the table. And we need to remember that what are the other things that limit people's choices? Poverty takes choices off the table. Transphobia takes choices off the table. Sexism takes choices off the table. Racism takes choices off the table. And this has just taken one economic opportunity off the table as well.
And choice is what not only makes the internet thrive, but makes humanity as the whole thrive, as makes our civilization go. So to take that away, this robs from our civilization. Also, which I hate, I'm really trying not to turn to like Alex Jones rage mode here, because it's something I'm really passionate about, is this conception, as just coming from my area of dealing with the, quote, community a lot in terms of hope and information security and people in policy with the digital realm, of just this idea that, oh, like, there's tech and, like, we're the sole proprietors of use. Like, you know, everyone uses a computer because we all love doing sys administration. You know, we all love video gaming, and just keep forgetting that every single pretty much technology we've ever had was pushed forward or advanced by pornography and the need to just, with
broadband,
the awesomeness of fucking,
you know, yep. Streaming video, credit card payments.
Why VHS one?
Yeah, VHS one over beta.
They made Bibles with the printing press by funding it with printed porn.
Yeah.
To just even get away from like actual circuits. So it just, I have to do this history lesson that just boils my blood of that. The drive for human sexuality is as integral to tech as everything else for us that we've pushed forward to.
Absolutely. And the idea
the
that
forefront.
People are doing this because the goal is not actually to rescue anyone. Mm-hmm. The goal is to end demand for commercial sex, which I believe is fundamentally impossible. Yep. You could just as quickly end demand for food.
It's meant to appease a base.
Yep.
Yes.
This puritanical base that does... Mm-hmm. ignores base human instincts and it's mind-boggling.
This is also, in my opinion, a test. And if they know this one succeeds, they know what to push and what other things to further.
Yeah, if you can wrap anything in, you know, protect the children, you know, like in human trafficking, there's no limit to what you can ramp through.
Yep. Goodbye, Shodan.
And there were only two politicians who did not vote for Sesta Fosta. Mm-hmm. And that was Paul and that was Wyden.
Even Bernie.
Bernie. Yeah. So we don't have a whole lot of political representation, and the fact that so many people would just so quickly allow something like this to happen without reading between the lines, it's quite clear that we haven't learned our lesson from the Patriot Act. And as we get so close to its expiration, why are we continuing these kinds of things, and why aren't people paying more attention?
So if I could just quick just segue a little bit, I just want to point out here that Mayhem over here, if I may refer to you as that, recently did a panel on Friday, and congratulations on that. That was
Thank you. I heard some people
being excited about that. That was a lot of people's highlights throughout the day.
That's lovely to hear.
And Kit, you're going to have a panel on Sunday.
Yes, my talk is tomorrow at noon.
If we could just hear a bit about what that's
going to be. So this is the Sex Geek Returns, hacking in human sexuality. This is my very first Ask Me Anything.
Mm.
I have not done one before online or in person. And I'm really excited. So yes, folks should definitely turn in tomorrow around noon.
I just want to point out that I was on a panel that was completely useless and Render Man was just completely awesome with his wonderful bag of tricks.
But no, that's the bag of dongs.
Yes.
Not the bag of tricks.
I personally love to refer them as tricks just because I love the cereal.
That's my business.
Sorry.
But it is a beautiful collection of dongs.
I apologize for appropriation there. But to kind of, I'm not necessarily wrap up the Sestafosa conversation, but just to leap to this point, because if I remember correctly, you covered this in your panel, Mayhem. What can we do now as human beings with keyboards and bodies in America or maybe even abroad to combat this just technological nightmare disaster that wants to usher in what I feel is a new form of censorship and slavery.
Which technological, you know, mayhem and disaster? Because there seems to be a never-ending stream of them.
That's the first one that's going to breed 80 million of them as if this continues to go on.
Well, right now I'm happy to say that there has been a lawsuit that was filed to stop it, hopefully, or make it clear that it's a violation of...
Give me one second. I just want to see here, because I think this person, unfortunately, is maybe unmuted. See if I can just... I think they're in. I just want to see if I can unmute them. We're supposed to test this beforehand, and then panels just went crazy here.
Is there anybody around here, you know, with good in IT support?
Can
we find some tech support people?
Not a very tech-literate conference here.
Yes, unfortunately. I just got a... Okay, it's got a message here. I'm just going to send an email, but I'm sorry, continue. I'm going to actually find an alternate means that I can get
on. To say that there is a lawsuit that's in progress, so supporting the organizations that are pursuing this, and that includes the EFF, that includes the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Alliance, and several others that are going to need people's support as they move forward, especially because they're going to be accused of some pretty horrible things, namely that they're promoting and protecting human traffickers. So making sure to question that and have people think a little bit more about that. I'd say also we can't let this banking situation go forward, so it's going to be really important to actually get on the phone and let people know. Call, please, please, please do call politicians and say that sex worker lives matter and let them know.
What's the name of that banking act again?
It's End Banking for Human Traffickers.
End Banking for,
It doesn't It doesn't have the same kind of fun acronym. But
I'm actually really...
What is it with the U.S. right now when like everything has to be an acronym, you know, in order to get through?
Well, bite-size... absorption and two, make it as boring as possible so it's just that's that thing and just send it on through.
People like they want to sell their politics and people do it in sound bites, and acronyms are a pretty convenient way to do that,
when it's the opposite of what it actually is in there. It's like using Freedom Act, that does
freedom.
How could you vote against that?
I'm pretty sure they tried to do something with the word intercourse and just gave up due to bad scrabble. if I may ask, Kit, is your organization investigating possibilities into this, or?
So what we're actually, yesterday.
Yeah, updates.
Since the last time I was here, the Effing Foundation raised and has awarded $40,000 in grants to sex-positive artists and educators across the U.S. Holy crap! We're not vaporware anymore. Y'all, I have been working on this for, 6-7 years now, and, we're actually a real deal. So we have helped... Oh, my gosh. I can't name all of our grantees, right this second. That'd take a while. But just in New York, Sex at a Go-Go with Dirty Lola is one of our grantees. She's a queer black woman who does fabulous, edutainment. And getting the word out to just ordinary folks, good information about sex that can be so hard to come by. Also in this area, we support Substantia Jones and the Adipositivity Project. She does nude photo shoots of fat and super fat models, helping everybody of whatever size reclaim their own sexuality and be empowered. And it's beautiful, beautiful work. And so that's some of the stuff we've been doing. And then, oh my gosh, yesterday, y'all, I pushed the button. And we have opened up our next call for projects. So our next grant funding cycle is starting, and we want to hear from people doing sex-positive work. We're particularly interested in hearing from queer and trans people of color, sex workers, people with disabilities, people of size. So if you go to effing.org/grants, you can get a lot more information. So our hope is that we will be able to partner with sex workers, with educators, with folks who are doing this kind of work, and help amplify their voices.
And thank you for setting up such a wonderful organization to do such things, because another thing just quick that boggles my mind is, and I've often heard this from a layman myself, is a layman and woman and people myself, is that you the common thing is you think with all the money that pornography generates that people would just be wanting to fund stuff like crazy of all different projects, films, objects, discussions, and no.
No, it's really tough. And this banking act is actually going to make things worse. Like, one of the reasons why it took me this long to get the organization started was finding someone who was willing to bank to provide me banking services. Like, to be perfectly honest. Like, you explain, yeah, we're going to, like, as soon as people hear the word sex, they freak out. Like, it's really, really sad and frustrating. And so, not just for us, but, like, for any sex worker doing whatever kind of sex work they are doing, like, having basic access to banking services, like, that's just something everybody should have the opportunity to have. Like, how do you expect people to be able to save money, to be able to, if they want to, move into another career? I don't know. Banking services would sure be nice. So, and so, not less for those folks, but again, folks like me who are trying to run organizations that are doing work with sexuality, like, that's going to make our lives even more difficult.
Or especially looking at other things people consider signs or symptoms of human trafficking. As I look at all the dongs that you've brought, actually, you could potentially be at risk if you stayed at a hotel room because the Department of Homeland Security and ICE, our Immigration and Customs Enforcement, lovely organization that needs to go.
Yep.
It does hand out all kinds of information to people, to staff, and things to look out for. So one of the things that they do say is an excessive amount of sex toys.
Yes, and yeah. I am familiar with which states yep. have requirements that anything over, I believe it's a half dozen phallic or other...
Intent to distribute dongs.
Yeah, like that...
Not surprised.
Well, I mean, these are states yeah. I probably wouldn't be going to anyways, you know, being a Canadian and everything, and like yeah. not liking to hear banjo music in the background.
I should be shocked because those organizations is not what most people think of organizations that would be... putting information and effort to stop those things, and I have to remind myself that these are two organizations that are notorious for constantly fucking people over anyhow, so they would have a big interest in that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, my group,
not in a good way.
Not that really that there's a group, but, you know, it's mostly me, but I'm...
I hear you.
Just, I've got a carry-on size suitcase with 26 different internet-connected or remote-controllable sex toys. That I use for research, trying to secure them, as I say. Going through TSA is a lot of fun. Like, the looks you get are well worth it. I make sure it's carry on because I never want to end up with a Fight Club situation, you know, where it's, you know, always have to use the, you know, indeterminate, you know, it's always a dildo, never your dildo. when you've got a full suitcase with, you know, hand-cut foam cutouts for all of them and everything.
Speaking of which, I apologize. I actually forgot to inform. I think that we do have the NSA up there. The cameras there. And
I have a sticker for that.
Yes. And yep. Well, I was actually going to mention, and I totally want you to eventually put that on there. But well, we can also just over the radio. Could we possibly look at some of your handiwork that you brought?
Oh,
Render Man.
Sure.
I like the sound so far. That happens.
So
okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Nope. The beer no. almost got it. But
they've yeah, we've done way worse with them, unfortunately, over the years. No orifices yet, but lots of hard collisions.
All right. So, what would you like to know?
The most unique thing, in your opinion, in that?
Out of my, you know, as you mentioned, the bag of tricks.
Yeah. I know. They're all so pretty.
Multi-layer. Yeah.
50 million psychedelic colors, man.
Mostly, the amount of engineering that goes into these is quite remarkable. The biggest thing I've found with a lot of these device manufacturers is, up until very recently, they've only made manually operated devices. You know, they suddenly get a development kit, they add connectivity, and they're making mistakes that, you know, internet community was making 15 years ago. Crappy authentication, you know, open APIs, open directories, just collecting information they shouldn't.
If real quick, if I remember also, too, I was on one of your early panels that was called, well, not on, but I was in the audience of How May I Pwn Thee, Let Me Count the Ways, and one of the things that you brought up as a theoretical at the time was the idea of hacking into someone's Bluetooth-controlled sex toy. And the sort of the ramifications of that, and then to like everyone being, ah, it's a nice theory, and that you can do that.
So that was actually the genesis of this project. It was better part of 10 years ago I gave that talk. I feel old.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. The talk basically was looking at a business traveler, all the different ways that, you know, one could attack wireless devices on them. And at the time, it was the first Bluetooth-enabled vibrator on the market. Came out, and you actually controlled it over text message. So different there was a prefix code you had to have in a text message. You paired with your phone, it read your messages, and based on what characters you used was different motions. Really hard to get working on a North American phone, because Europeans had much better texting and everything like that. But it got the idea in my head of, wait, this is now a connected device. There's an attack surface here. And it rolled around in my head for years, and I ended up looking, you know, after hacking the crap out of airplanes and airports, decided to look at an IoT project. You know, everybody had already done webcams, baby monitors, fridges, everything else, but nobody, strangely enough, had looked at sex toys. And I started looking at the market and what was out there, and I'm like, oh my god, these guys are a lot further along than I thought. And I have no dignity, so I volunteered to be the face of research into the security of these devices.
And was it the Wii Vibe that had the privacy issue? I forget, there was one toy in particular.
Yeah, it was the Wii Vibe.
It was the Wii Vibe.
This guy, right here. The Wii Vibe, their biggest flaw was that their whole thing was, in their app, the privacy policy specifically was using the wording from their website, not the wording necessary for the app. So when they talked about, you know, what data, cookies, you know, collected and everything like that, well, that's from their website. You log in with your email address, okay, so that's identifiable. They know when you're logged in, they know when you log out, so they know time of day you're using. But like so many other things, they collect data on what's your, you know, usage analytics. Same thing, you know, your fridge, your thermostat. We all click those sort of boxes that say, hey, you know, like, if you want to make our products better, help us, send anonymous data. You know, so it's things like, you know, what's your favorite vibration pattern, etc., to make your product better. And so they also, when they sent that, one could, in theory, pair that with other usage data, and I believe also the temperature of the chipset internally was sent as well as a diagnostic thing. All of this together could, in theory, be made into a dossier, no evidence that it actually was, and they got sued for $5 million. And really, their error was just the wrong text in the app. And the thing is, what I found though...
Hey, your lawyers, folks.
What I found though was that the lawyers, they screwed up big time.
Yeah.
They missed a big payday, because the things that I've been able to do and find with other manufacturers, way, way worse.
If I may interject, we actually have a question from IRC, particularly for you, Renderman. Wants to know, he says, Dong Guy, any good toys for men, particularly concerning prostate massagers? Our IRC is brutal with, like, really good questions.
It's one of those, unlike it, I don't test these devices personally. Like, I'm purely looking at them for technology.
What interesting things have you done with this besides insertion?
I haven't done insertion because I hand these things around. They're
right.
Like, considering how many hands these things have been in.
Oh, yeah. Yep, demos. Demo models, yeah.
There's a number of, actually, WeVibe actually has a prostate massager. What I have here right now is the Lovance Hush butt plug that also has gotten a bit of press that I refuted. There's a surprisingly large amount out there now. And it's this is the new generation of things. You know,
it was. That was the biggest growth market I think I saw. It was just there was a few things, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was so much product design specifically for the prostate. I know Aneros kicked that off for sure. They really wanted to work in getting something that was going to be friendly for insertion during masturbation as well, so it would stay put. Yeah, and then I'm seeing I've got a, is that a...
It's a Kiru Onyx.
It's the Kiru. I was like, it's a Fleshlight, but not the Fleshlight branded.
Well, no, it's designed with Fleshlight's contribution. But, basically, it's a hole.
It's a hole. My favorite hack, though, is someone took a fucking machine, and instead of having that have a penetration object at the end, they actually put a Fleshlight at the end, so then you can get like a super speed hand job.
At which point, I'm more worried about like friction burn and like combustion, because I'm thinking like rubbing two sticks together kind of thing.
You know, but then you can just get a tubing with some lube and get a hand button and you can have that going the whole time.
It's like, friction. This is the side that it really interests me, is just purely technological, of how do you facilitate what people are going to do anyways. People fuck. Deal with it.
And unfortunately, he has passed away, but House of Gord was a website that did, I mean, the engineering that went on with that was incredible. One of the biggest regrets of my entire life is that I never shot for House of Gord. And in fact, when I think of the lube dispenser, he had a car that was set up, and there was a fucking machine that was related to the RPMs of the speed you were driving. And he had a big estate. And the model...
I can see a lot of speeding tickets involved here.
Yeah, well, if you got your own acreage of land. And so the model was literally on the front of the car and has an emergency button in one hand and then has a lube button in the other. So as you're going for this ride, you are on the front of a car, you are strapped in, you are completely immobile. And the faster that car drives, the faster it is going to be with that penetration device.
Faster it drives.
And this is the thing that disturbs me. Why is the first thing I think of is the gear ratio?
Right. Well, he was a Boeing engineer.
Yeah.
So he took all that like knowledge he got from building airplanes and put it into sex. And so it was some of the wildest things I've ever seen.
I mean, one of the people that... I mean, with all this, it's thinking about doing things properly and securely. Because, like...
By the way, in the background is me trying to connect. Just
I have a great respect for the cam model industry. That, you know, and I'm friendly with a number of them, that, you know, anonymous if they so choose, they pick their hours, etc., you know, and a lot of these devices now various sites will interface with, so you can, you know, tip and control.
If we can't just have a moment here, I'm going to try to test this. Hello, people from Assembly 4, can you hear me? Hello? Hello, guess I'm going to work on this. I'm sorry, why work on this? If you can continue, I apologize.
But with cam models, is that, you know, the ability to tip and, you know, cause a vibrator to go off for however many, you know, much time they choose or whatever. It's true interactivity. You know, it's actually kind of interesting.
Hello?
I think we have them now. Is this Assembly 4?
Yay!
Yay, yes, finally! Hello. Yes, because technology now finally works.
I know.
But I just wanted to finish the thought here. So Sarah Jamie Lewis on Twitter has done remarkable work, not only fingerprinting blowjobs, that's a whole other thread.
I've seen that movie.
No, it's actually a Twitter rant. It is friggin' brilliant.
Yes, it is.
But she's actually figured out a way to do remote control of sex toys over Tor, so you can get true like anonymity.
Truly fucking the onion.
Okay, he said that. I didn't. Just saying. But you know, this is the sort of thing.
Does the Tor Foundation know of this?
Do they care what goes over their network?
I don't know. Now I'm going to ask.
Yeah. But it's... That, to me, is a really good idea. And I would like to see vendors adopt this and say, hey, would you like to be ultra secure? Like, press this button and you're going to go over Tor. Like, this is valid and interesting research.
Okay, so just want to get on here. We have the wonderful people from Assembly 4 here. Could you please introduce yourselves and what you wonderful people do?
I'm a security
Could you repeat that again? I'm not sure if we get the quality in.
Actually, probably not great. Good old Australian internet. As a, I'm a security and infrastructure engineer as well as a qualified assembly call.
I'm Jack.
Oh boy, this is what we get with. So apparently we have a connection.
This is what happens when you're doing a radio show on a network run by hackers.
Yes, pretty much.
The pool doesn't work for you.
We keep getting dips in and out right now.
So we're getting about every third word.
Yes, every third word here, and you know, where the rest of my staff is. Thinking.
Do you have FaceTime? FaceTime audio?
Jesus.
Yes. Unfortunately, see, my whole thing is I'm. See, what I wish I could do is do a direct call. It's just the continents. And the way my phone works.
I'm actually calling on my phone. I can wear the cost. Yeah.
Okay. We can.
Technology great.
Yes. We can try that. I'm going to hang up this call and we're going to try that. I'm just going to start another topic up. Sorry about this. We're going to keep working on this. Please stay tuned. Thank you. And now ending now. I'm so sorry about this. Actually, before we get to that topic, I just want to introduce something myself here. So I got permission from my partner to do this. I was just curious. We recently bought, my partner and I, amazing person, a couple of days ago, and I actually brought it with me because I just thought this was so curious. Because I was under the impression that they bought what's known as a bullet. That's what they claimed they bought. And instead, they ended up buying something that had even more features than they didn't think they had.
Oh.
Just one of these.
If that's a bullet, I'd hate to see the gun.
Yes. And so what we found out is it apparently lasts for 2 hours.
So this appears to be a cordless wand?
Yeah, it almost looks like a fairy wand with a penetration end.
Yep.
Huh.
And let's see here. And what I find fascinating about, first of all, there's a LED light, and as I set settings on for it, as Render Man creepingly puts black gloves on, but I'm really
rubber
enjoying
gloves.
That sound, yes. Just so nice.
Yep.
This
light actually vibrates to the patterns, that the vibration patterns, and there's two separate heads. One is, this is five different modes. The other shorter end that actually vibrates is seven different ones, and they work independently. And the thing that we didn't know that I think we might be able to hear on here is that we didn't know that this bottom one moves. That was not in the product description when we received this.
Bonus feature.
Yep. At different speeds. And once again, it's independently.
Huh. Okay, yeah. We've got a double-ended.
Yeah. Yeah. The difference, and actually, if I do different modes, you can kind of, let's see, it's a good one here. Because there's just so much harsh light. You can kind of see the light, kind of. Did you want to take a closer look at this Render Man?
That I'm all gloved up.
Yes.
I always wonder why they have the different modes, as if there's anyone who's like, actually, it is mode 3 that is the one that I need. They're always such an interesting feature. Usually, when I think of the basic needs for a vibrator, I'm like, does it turn on? Does it turn off? Does it get harder and softer?
It reminds me of, like, checklist features for video games. You know, where it's like this many hours, this type of action, these type of loot boxes. Loot boxes for sex toys. We have to switch to a different topic.
Dude, like some of the stuff that I've considered, and I have to do a shout out to buttplug.io.
Yay, buttplug.io. We love you, Kyle.
Qdot. This guy does reverse engineering of a lot of sex toys, so he'll figure out the protocols to control them and everything like that. And like he's done things like pair it with video games and stuff like that.
He's done fun stuff. I got to know him a little bit back when I was doing my own type of, rather than sex toy hacking, I guess I was building them. And it's funny because it's a design that I see out there now, and I was the person to do it open source, but it was our PSI-gasm, and in the garage with my partner, we built
Are you on a Slack channel?
Am I on part?
On the Q.dot Slack channel?
I'm not. I am not on that Slack channel. But the, oh, the PSIGasm days were fun, and it, we could have.
To give you an idea of the weirdness of like my life, like I will, I have sat there, like I'm sitting here with like a vibrator I just got handed by a random person, you know, by side pocket here, and I don't care, you know, I gloved up, I'm good, but I've sat on the Slack channel debating about fucking machines. Pneumatic versus magnetic linear actuators for like 2 hours, and real, you know, you take the step back and it's like, did I just? Yeah, I did. But it was a fascinating engineering discussion, and it's like,
to me, that's what counts. That's the meat of it.
And quite honestly, like anytime I've seen any like the King.com stuff or like they got the, like interesting contraptions or anything like that, I'm like, it's the engineering that's actually more appealing.
Yeah.
So you're talking about House of Gourd. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, it's really interesting. The mechanics of sex. Yeah. I mean, like I'm just looking at this toy the side pocket gave me. It's like, okay, so you got. This is a penetrative end, there's a vibrator end.
Okay.
But they're actually, you're able to control them separately. So each side probably has its own microcontroller.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, that opens up so many possibilities right there if you have two people close together.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, you're, I mean, I know a few design considerations, but.
You know, our creativity is limited by our imagination, and when it comes to sex, our imaginations tend to get very broad, and so I think the potential for what we can build...
I think back to our debate about Frosta and everything like that, it's like some people, it's very narrow. You know, there should only be for procreation, you know, in this way, it's like...
Oh, that's just what they say in public.
Oh, yes, like I said, they're probably the biggest consumers of this. And
yeah, and they have the biggest imaginations because they're, like, imagining everything that people are doing next door, and they're so preoccupied, and they're just, and they're putting it in this hole, and then they're in this position, and you're like, oh, yeah, you got a big imagination. And
okay, well, in that case, they should actually be talking about building standards and increasing the amount of insulation between the walls.
And by the way, that sort of reminds me of, like, to me, that's the version of, like, when programs say we're compiling. Yeah. You know, where it's like, we're compiling. We're not just sword fighting on our desk here. We're just waiting for the program we did to compile. Like, in terms of, like, this is what they just say in public.
Well, speaking of toys and creativity, Teledilonics Liberation Day is almost upon us. August 17th, y'all.
This deserves a documentary.
That's when the crappy Teledilonics patent expires. That shit can go and fudge and die already. Like,
so,
and it's also held with like took like withheld a lot of other just patents and.
I am expecting a plethora of new devices to be released in the weeks following.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping that they've all got their security together because otherwise I'm gonna have a field.
Do you have enough gloves though?
I buy them by the case.
Perfect.
The history though of the patent troll that was sitting on the Teledildonics thing, really
Gizmodo and Vice both have like really interesting articles on this.
I'm waiting for the major motion picture because really it's amazing how many people just were innocently walking into, you know, doing their own type of sex toy hacking who ran into this very interesting individual who just is going to own the market on Teledildonics and nobody, not going to let anybody do anything.
And never did anything with it, sold it to a patent troll and Troll's gonna do what a troll's gonna do.
Last thing. Sorry, I'm just doing this and I'm just absorbed.
I know you're doing so many things, and we have
these. There's
sex
a lot of
toys.
Bright shiny. Yeah.
You guys are playing with devices that are awesome and work, and I'm playing with devices that are not working and frustrating.
I know.
It's that sort of aspect.
I mean, to that end, I mean, you know, I have
a frustrating
Kegel exerciser here.
It's so tiny.
I'm sorry, repeat that. What was that? You have a
Kegel exerciser. It's a little
Kegel
sphere.
Exerciser.
It's a little sphere. You know, magnetic base for charging. But the neat thing is, flip it over, and it's a UV lamp for sterilization.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a base. And I'm like, this is honestly very fascinating to like the engineer side of my brain, where it's like, somebody thought, okay, how do we sterilize these things properly? I'm like, that's friggin' brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that all their API calls go through China, you know, notwithstanding.
But it's interesting because so few people actually do appropriate cleaning of their toys, and so this is a great way to store and clean. It's you know, it's very convenient.
And, you know, one of the things I was commenting with the toy you handed me is if you look at the DC input plug for charging it, but you compare it to many of these others that use either, like, magnetics.
Hold on one moment.
Or that they're using, like, inductive charging or other sort of, like, self-sealing ports. You know, there's less chance or anything. So that's why I say a design choice would be to have, like, a self-sealing port or something.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt to, and I apologize for everyone's ears. I'm going to plug this in. We're going to cross your fingers, our final thing here. Hello, can you hear us? Can we hear you?
Bueller?
Hello?
Bueller?
Oh. Oh, I see what's going on. Hang on.
So have you actually found any toy with that's like not horribly embarrassing in terms of security?
So I have to give props. I have to give props to Revive.
Pardon? Okay.
Yes, can you hear us?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, we have connection here.
Yay.
Okay, so this might be like oddly limiting here because I don't know how far my microphone range is. Probably not very far. But could you both introduce yourselves again? I apologize for all this stuff earlier.
Sorry, that's completely fine. So I'm Eliza. I'm an infrastructure and security engineer, and I'm one of the founders of Assembly Call.
I am I'm Jack. I'm a software engineer, and I'm also one of the co-founders of Assembly Call.
Awesome.
And I'm the last co-founder of an Infowar Hunt and Tech
Worker. Awesome. And really quick, I live with someone named Jack, and my life feels like it's literally a series of Jacks, so I'm glad we're continuing that tradition. Would you mind introducing all you people just do such phenomenal work. Could you please inform and enlighten our listeners here to what exactly amazing work that you currently do?
So about 3-4 months ago, we launched a sex worker-friendly social network called Twitter, which is built off Mastodon.
Yes.
Since then, we've launched an advertising platform called Trick. And we've also been doing security workshops around operational security and just general security online and how you should, I guess, protect yourself.
Because Ms. Mayhem, you mentioned how there was such a mass like banning and exodus from platforms like Twitter, and everyone that I knew from that eventually got onto the Twitter platform is actually, if I remember correctly, one of the biggest Mastodon's platforms that is out there right now.
Oh, it happens so fast, and it's so incredible to actually.
Third or fourth biggest Mastodon instance. Mm-hmm. English speaking wise, I think we are second.
Neat. And what's the project you're doing now? If I remember correctly, you recently launched this website.
We're building a modern advertising platform for our first sort called Trist. It's trist.at, and it's effectively going to be a modern advertising platform for sports with, like, I guess, built on modern technology, strong analytics, effectively built with input from escorts rather than, I guess, being dialed just solely for advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the way I've been described to is that it's essentially the dream Backpage. Like, if you could take Backpage, evolve it, make it for the workers, completely for the workers, by the workers, this is what the result would be.
Yeah, and hopefully look a lot better than Backpage and more useful itself than Backpage.
And lastly, real quick, because unfortunately we're running out of time here, thanks to my screw-ups, you said that you do a bunch of security work in terms of your...
Yeah, so I run a lot of... I do a lot of security work in the community, so I'm helping out with PyCon Australia. But since doing that, we've been running community-based work only for sex workers, and specifically around their threat models. A lot of the information online is really hard to digest, and it just puts them off. So we thought, why don't we just start these workshops? It started off on the bottom of someone's kitchen floor with 3 people, and we recently had I think it was like 45 people in person and online at our last workshop.
And just because we're sort of pressed for time here, I'm going to do a couple of questions. The last question I have for you is basically, does any of our three people in the room would like to ask Assembly for a question? What I'm going to do is, if you ask the question, I'll repeat it just for clarification so that we can get an answer.
How can we support you in your work?
Okay. Kit wants to know how that we can support you with your work. Did you hear that?
I think it's just gone silent.
I'm sorry?
Oh, maybe.
Are you looking up something? Hello?
Okay. Yeah. Every time we have a meeting.
This is Australia. When we set up the thing, we used to get prank calls from Australia when we had a public line. I'm not even kidding. Hello? Hello out there.
What?
Yes. Kit wants to know how we can support your efforts and endeavors.
Hello?
That's the last question. Hello? Oh, boy. If you can hear, I'm gonna message you guys later as a follow-up to that, okay? Thank you for being on here and all your awesome work. Keep going, and I apologize in advance. So, sorry about that. So, I guess the last question here, because unfortunately we have a very important discussion coming in, is... If anyone wants to track what amazing work that you do, how can they reach out to you? How can they support you?
All right. Well, Effing Foundation, EFFING.org. If you have the resources, please consider making a donation. We're doing amazing things, and we want to keep doing them.
And in fact, real quick, our group in New Jersey DEF CON 201 is going to be, unfortunately, we're not going to have a dedicated meetup in terms of like a normal meetup, but we are going to be doing another drive again overall for your organization, as many others, both locally and abroad. And we're also submitted a talk to Exotica, which I might ask you fellas for help for, as well as potentially being at the Geeky Kick Festival again, because those were two opportunities we tried to do, and we're going to make sure we nail them again.
So if you're into, and I, you know, no irony in using the term, you know, penetration testing, you know, sex toys, particularly the apps and then back into the systems, Internet of Dongs, so INTERNETDON.GS. I am the Donner Dongs Renderman, and hit me up. My email's all over there, info@internetofdon.gs. And we're always looking, because new versions of apps are coming out. We always need people dealing with eyes on this stuff, trying it out.
And real quick, how can they also meet your friend?
So my little friend is Murdoch Monkey, MURDOCH underscore monkey.
Is he with us right now? I just want to say a few words.
Yeah, Monkey.
The little blue awesome monkey with his own name tag.
Yes. Has his own Twitter account, gets into all sorts of trouble. He was puking on people on the street at the bar yesterday. So.
I didn't know he's from Hoboken.
Yes.
And for your amazing work?
And I am Maggie Mayhem. You can find me at maggiemayhem.com. You can find me on Twitter as Ms. Maggie Mayhem, because a pug got to my name before I did.
I know that feeling.
You cannot find me on Facebook, but you can always email me, maggie@maggiemayhem.com, if I can answer any questions about sex, birth, death, or getting high safely. Yay!
And just quickly, if you want to feel a little bit better, when I initially years ago tried to get the .com version of my legal name, it turns out a Christian fiction story author had that URL, and that was their pen fictitious name.
Oh, no.
That I had to attempt to wrestle my way from. So it's great to find the opposite of you owning you as your name.
Yeah.
Cue Twilight Zone music. Despite this attempting to be a shit show, because it's my luck, this was amazing. Thank you, all you wonderful people, for being here, making this possible. And stay tuned to a very important talk coming up. We're going to do some quick transition here. And away we go on Radio Statler.